seven. She's,
on antibiotics, yeah. I done her at the end and chucked the milk away.
Okay, fine.
And before you ask, there's no signs of mastitis. But more of them look as though they're about to go down with milk fever.
Oh, that's great. I don't want you to think I'm interfering.
No,
but
no. Why should I think that?
You've had your own herd too. You remember what it's like.
Yeah, just about.
You put so much work and care into them, it's hard to let go.
I know all about letting go.
Oh?
What's my herd being sold off at auction?
Aye, of course.
Oh, this filter needs replacing. It's cracked.
I know. I've got one on order.
I thought we might find you here.
Okay, it's almost time for his feed.
Yep, I think Josh would second that.
Can you just take him for a bit longer while I help Mike?
Oh, don't worry about me. I'm through here. I'm off for a pint.
Oh, right.
Thanks, Mike. One less milking day for Ruth. It's really going to ease the strain.
Yeah, it's a big relief.
Yeah, well, find it even better if you let her relax and leave it to me.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
Here we are, then. See you tomorrow.
See you, Mike. Thanks.
Bye.
Ruth.
I know, he's right.
Mike isn't a Bert. You needn't start worrying about your cell count.
Did I say I was?
He's a really good stockman. They don't come a lot better.
But this was his first milk.
All right, all right, all right, Joshy. Go on. Go to your mum.
Come on, Joshy. All right. Shh. That new heifer went berserk. It needed the two of us to get her through safely.
Well, yes, but
and I did leave him to it after that. I just hung around in case he needed me help.
I think Pip needed your support as much as Mike.
Shula didn't mind. She was quite happy to look after her.
Maybe. She just rung from Grange Farm.
Shula? What was she doing there?
She took Pip to see William's Jersey heifer. Reading between the lines, I think Pip's been playing her up. Sounds like she ended up down there out of sheer desperation.
Okay, point taken.
Well, Pip's the reason we're paying Mike, remember?
I know. At least you went into school okay this morning.
Better than last week, you mean?
No big tears. And she wasn't quite as clingy.
But if that's going to last, she needs you after school as well.
Not just me, David.
Well, I do my best, but you're the one she asks for.
Okay. I'll try and manage it better tomorrow.
Leave the milking to Mike? I don't want her to lock you and Pip in the feed store.
I'll do me best.
Promise? Come on, I'm waiting.
I promise I'll try very hard.
Oh, okay, I suppose that's the best I can hope for.
Okay, Josh, let's sort you out. Then we better go and find your big sister.
Hello? Mr. Perks?
Yeah. 2 seconds and I'll... Oh, Sergeant Blackmore, hear me.
Evening.
Sorry, my barmaid isn't here yet. I thought you was an early customer.
No. This is strictly business, I'm afraid.
Ah.
I just wondered if you could spare me a few minutes.
Yes. How can I help you?
Well, you've probably heard the talk. We think there might be some poached venison doing the rounds.
Oh, see.
Has anyone approached you and offered you cheap venison?
Well, what, like round the back door?
Oh, they wouldn't say it was poached, of course. They'd probably give you a story about legitimate culling. Pubs and small restaurants are a favourite target. They'd offer it in bulk, ready packed for the freezer.
Yes. Right. Yeah, well, as it happens, I was offered some just a few weeks ago.
Can you remember exactly when?
No. Well, it must have been about the middle of last month.
And did you know the person who approached you?
Well, yes. Yes, it was one of my regulars.
Name?
Grundy. Eddie Grundy.
Right.
Yeah, I did think it all sounded a bit dodgy at the time, and that's why I didn't buy any.
I see. Did Mr. Grundy say where the meat had come from?
Well, no, he didn't go to any details. He just said he could get it cheap from a mate.
Evening!
Ah, and now, here's someone who might be able to help you.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, Mike Tucker, another of my regulars.
Willow Farm, isn't it?
Yeah, 4 marks.
That's usual, Mike?
Yeah,
the sergeant's been asking about venison.
Oh. Suppose you don't mean the kind you can get in the butchers.
Has anyone offered you cheap venison in freezer packs?
Me?
Yeah, didn't Betty say...
No, they ain't come to me. I mean, I've heard the rumours, of course. These poachers, is it?
We think it might have been poached. Can't say for certain.
Nasty business. Wouldn't go nowhere near the stuff. Don't know where it's been, do you?
Do you know anyone who might have bought any?
Not off the top of my head, no.
You know how it is. Not the kind of thing people tend to boast about.
Right. Thanks.
Not much help, are we?
Well, while I'm here, what can you tell me about Clive Horobin?
That was David. Ruth's on her way down.
Oh, good. It's time we got the kids home and left you in peace.
Oh, don't worry about that. There'd be no trouble. You know, William, any excuse to show off Posh Boyce.
Well, he kept Pip entertained for an hour and a half, more than I could do.
They all go through difficult stages, don't they?
True enough, even at Daniel's age. Is Joe all right in there?
They're all three sat in a row watching telly.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, Dad's well into his second childhood anyway. He's happy as Larry.
How does he feel about your brush with the police?
Oh, you know, Dad, the laws ain't to get us because we're groomedies.
Yeah, I see.
Beginning to think you might have a point in all.
I hear you bumped into an old friend the other day.
Friend? If you mean Jim Coverdale.
All right, acquaintance.
Who told you that?
Well, Usha did mention he was in charge of the case.
Yeah, just my luck, innit? Thought we'd seen the last of him when he moved down south.
When was that? Must be at least 15 years ago.
Who's counting? He didn't like me then. I get the feeling he's got a long memory.
Wasn't there some trouble with you and him over poaching before?
Yeah, he tried to nick me. I was totally innocent. Nothing changes, does it?
Well, they're not likely to charge you this time, are they?
You ain't heard the latest.
Oh?
Clary reckoned I should tell the police who I got the venison from. So I did. I told them it was Snatch Foster.
And?
Next thing I know, Baggy's round here with Rottweiler, telling me the police have been to Snatch and Snatch has told them he knows nothing about it.
Oh.
And Snatch is not happy. He's after me for grassing on him.
Well, where did Snatch get the venison?
Oh, I don't know. He told me it was legal.
And you took his word?
Well, best not to ask too much, ain't it? Oh, I never knew all this was going to happen. Oh, come in.
Hi. I'm sorry I'm so late.
Oh, don't worry. Pip's been fine.
Are you sure?
Yes, really.
She's in the lounge with Dad and young Daniel, watching telly. Oh,
thanks so much for looking after her. It made things so much easier for me.
How did Mike manage the milking?
Fine. No problems.
Poor old Mike. He's right back where he started, milking other people's cows.
What's wrong with that?
Funny how life goes round in circles, isn't it?
He's quite happy to do it. He could have said no if he'd wanted.
And you needn't have worried about him being able to cope?
Well, David thinks...
Don't forget my chucket was milking cows when you were still in nappies.
Thanks for the reminder. I'd better go and drag Pip away from that telly.
Yep, and I'd better do the same with Daniel.
Oh, any time you want to bring him down here, feel free.
Oh, thanks, Eddie.
Reckon I'd best lie low for a few days. I'll be glad of the company.
Well, I hope you sort out this misunderstanding with Snatch.
That's the least of me problems. I'm still in the frame for the attack on George Barford.
I mean, they don't really think you were mixed up in that, do they?
Oh, I don't know. I just gotta wait till the police catch up with Clive. Well, then they'll see I was telling the truth.
Oh, Eddie, I'm sure they will. It'll be all right.
Pip, I don't care if you can't watch anymore. It's time to go home.
Oh, dear. Here we go again.
I don't care what you say. A leopard don't change his spots. Yeah.
Clive did give up a lot of time for the play.
Yeah, so he helps move a bit of scenery. They don't make him a reformed character.
But he seems to have kept out of trouble while he was in Ambridge.
Well...
Yeah, as far as we know.
I still wouldn't trust him any further than I could chuck him.
Well, maybe you're right.
Yeah, and Betty would agree.
That'd be your wife. She was a victim of the shop robbery, wasn't she?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I ain't got nothing to do with it.
I tell you who you should speak to. Linda Snell.
Snell?
Yeah, Mrs. Snell, from Ambridge Hall. She was in charge of the play. She took on Clive as an helper.
Yeah, a real guardian angel.
Took him under her wing, did she?
Ah, pretty much.
Personally, I wouldn't go by what she says.
Why is that?
Well, if you knew Linda Snell, Clive could twist someone like her around
his... I'm sure the sergeant can judge that for himself, Mike.
I'll have a word with her anyway. Thanks for your help.
No problem.
Yeah, cheerio, Alan.
Good night.
Good luck to him. Best place for Clive's back inside.
Well, maybe. Hey, I wonder if the sergeant's general knowledge is up to scratch.
Hey?
Well, now Usha's dropped out of the quiz team.
You want that copper on the team?
Yeah, I just thought. Gonna need somebody. Don't want to repeat the last week's miserable performance.
Yeah, well, no good looking at me.
Yeah. By the way, Mike, did you buy some of Eddie's venison or didn't you?
Of course I did.
Oh. So why didn't you...
No need to tell the sergeant, was there? Sooner keep out of it. I don't want to get Eddie in a no deeper.
Evening.
Oh, Eddie. Want the usual?
Yeah, might as well now I'm here.
Right.
So,
What was he doing here?
Who?
Just think, that copper.
Sergeant Blackmore?
Yeah, he just drove off. Don't tell me he just called in for a packet of peanuts.
No, he was just making some routine inquiries.
Yeah, and they pulled the other one. Look, if it was anything to do with me, I want to know.
With you?
Why are you so curious?
Oh, come on. I want to know what that copper was asking.
I'm not sure it's strictly your business.
Well, all right. It was about the venison.
Blimey, heck, that's all I need.
But why are you so worried?
I told the police I got the venison from Snatch Foster.
Oh, that's what you told me.
It's the truth. They went to Snatch, and he said he didn't know nothing about it.
Yeah, well, so there's a surprise.
That's why Snatch was in here looking for you last night.
Yeah, 10 out of 10.
So?
So, the last thing I want is that copper sniffing around.
Oh, come on, no need to get so worked up about it.
If you knew Snatch Foster...
Ah, not him, the police.
Aye?
Well, you ain't done nothing wrong. So there's no need to worry, is there?
Oh, I'm glad to see you up and about, George. You're looking a bit better.
Yes, isn't he? Although the bruises will show for a while yet, we're told.
Ah, though I feel pretty much the same.
Well, you found yourself a nice sheltered spot.
Chris dragged me out here. She reckons the fresh air will do me good.
Oh, there speaks a man who spends the whole of his waking hours out of doors.
And you can see right over to the country park.
If you try and ignore Glebelands.
Mr. Wood is up there somewhere, walking the covers.
Oh, was that why he rushed off after the 2 minutes' silence?
Did he?
Yes, almost as soon as he'd waved the traffic on again.
I wish I'd been able to see it. Mr. Woolley and his medals marching out to stop the traffic.
He did it very well.
Oh, yes, I bet. Anyway, he's out there now with Brian's keeper.
Oh, yes. I hear last week's shoot went off all right.
Yes, after all the fuss. Mr. Woolley was so relieved. Now he's worrying about the next big shoot.
Yeah.
How can I stop him, George?
Sir?
How can I stop Mr. Woolley worrying about the next shoot?
Oh, can't help you there, I'm afraid.
Is that next weekend?
Saturday. One of the main shoots of the season. All Mr. Woolley's business friends, as well as some of our best customers.
Ah, yes.
I'm sure Brian's man's perfectly able, but Mr. Woolley's worried he doesn't have your experience, George. Of course, he doesn't know the drives as well as you do.
What do you think of Jeff Hastings, George?
Oh, he knows his job. Shouldn't make any daft mistakes.
Oh, you know Mr. Woolley. He wants to be quite sure his friends get a good day's sport.
That's easy. Give them the best drives.
Oh, it may seem simple to you, George.
Mr. Wood is not finding it at all easy. Mm. Where should they start? When should they break for lunch? Will the birds be in the right places?
Of course, Jack.
He'd best leave all that to Jeff Hastings.
Couldn't you ring Jack up and reassure him?
He's put Jeff in charge. I don't want to interfere.
Yes, I suppose you're right. I'll pass that on. I'm sure he'll take it coming from you.
Well, now, if you don't mind...
George?
Well, it's me back.
Oh.
This chair's all the wrong shape.
Oh, here.
No, thanks, no. I'll manage. I'll go and lie down for a few minutes.
Are you sure you
yes,
can
manage? Yes, I'm fine. Bye, Caroline.
Bye. Oh, dear. I didn't...
Oh, no, it's not you. Physically, he's a bit better.
He took a hell of a pounding. It's bound to take time. He still looks very tired.
It's not that so much. He gets plenty of sleep, but there's still this blankness, this lack of interest in anything. He doesn't seem with it half the time.
Well, I suppose after what he's been through.
Yes. Richard says it's to be expected it'll pass in time, but...
It must be difficult to live with.
Well, I mustn't complain. I'm lucky to have him still in one piece.
Yes. Well, if you need any help, Christine...
Oh, thanks, Caroline.
I must get back to work.
Thanks so much for coming. Oh, and remember, any time you want to come and try out my new mare...
Oh, yes, I'd love to. I'm busy in the daytimes. Perhaps I can come up this evening.
Oh, yes, please. See what you think of her.
Thanks.
You never said you were coming round.
Yeah, on my way back from Felbersham.
I might have gone out and missed you.
Well, I thought I'd stop and say hello.
Hello.
Hello. Where's Donna?
Down the shops. She won't be long.
Right.
That's Haley's car outside, isn't it?
Yeah, my van's at the garage. They're keeping it overnight.
Oh, yeah?
And I had to get to Felpersham, so...
Oh, kind of Haley to lend it.
Yeah.
Well, Kylie's staying the night with her school friend.
All right.
So I'm all yours. You're going to take me out somewhere?
Yeah, why not?
Or is Haley wanting her car back?
No, she's babysitting in the village tonight.
How's she getting there?
Well, she said she walked down from the cottage.
So you don't have to get back?
Not for Hayley, no.
Okay. Well, I'll do my hair and get my things. Sit down.
Right.
Oh, I'll be glad to get out. Didn't fancy sitting here all night with Donna and her friends.
What's wrong with her?
Oh, it's her house, I suppose. We got on all right at first, but now she keeps going on at me.
What about?
Everything. Washing up, Kylie's stuff in the living room. No, it's the electric bill. Says I've been using too much hot water.
Well, have you?
Well, I got to keep clean, haven't I? And Kylie won't share me bath water.
Yeah, I'm very fussy of her.
Well, to be fair on Donna, we ought to split the bill 50-50. I just can't afford it. Not on top of all the other bills.
Yeah, it is difficult.
In fact, I was wondering...
What?
Well, I know I still owe for that 20 quid, but if you could lend me a bit more to tide me over, it would make things a lot easier with Donna.
Yeah, sure. Okay, then.
Oh. Mm. You are so good to me.
And I just... How much do you want?
Well...
Go on.
I'll need 50 just for the electric. It won't be for long. I'm still owed a month's wages from Leeds.
So you'll be needing a bit more than 50, then?
If you can spare it. I'll pay you back as soon as I get it.
It's okay. Just give me a couple of days to get the cash.
Oh, thanks, love. Well, I'm ready. Where should we go?
I told him all the gossip from Grey Gables and about the plans for the Christmas fair, but half the time I'm not sure if he was really listening.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Jack did say he was very down in the dumps.
George doesn't really seem to mind if I'm there or not. He just sits in front of the television.
Must be worrying for you.
So out of character. It's almost like living with a different person.
Well, I did try not to mention anything that might upset him.
Like?
Well, the police investigation.
Oh, you needn't have worried. He doesn't seem very concerned about that either.
You've discussed it with him?
Well, I would, but there doesn't seem a lot to discuss.
Apparently, the police have been asking round the village about the poached venison.
Really?
They've asked Sid about it, and they've even asked Nigel.
Why Nigel?
Well, I heard this from Elizabeth. Nigel bought some of this meat from Eddie.
Oh, I see.
But when he was asked, Nigel said he knew nothing about it.
Really?
Well, I suppose he doesn't want to get involved. But I do think he should tell the truth.
Grace?
Oh, hello, we're in here. Oh, why is he hobbling around in the dark?
Oh, Peggy, you still here?
I'm just on my way.
She's been telling me about the police investigation. Apparently they've been asking questions about the venison.
Oh.
It looks as if Eddie Grundy's still under suspicion.
I don't know about the venison, but as for the idea of him attacking George, well...
Oh, I think it's quite absurd, don't you, George?
Ah, maybe.
Hello. Oh, hello, Mrs. Willie.
Evening, Caroline. And what have you been up to?
Oh, I've been trying out Chris's new mare.
She thinks I've got quite a bargain.
Oh, yes. She's very promising.
Caroline, are you going straight home?
Well, yes.
I wonder if you could be very kind and drop me off at Home Farm.
Yes, of course.
I know it's a bit out of your way, but Jennifer wants me to see her new decor in the dining room.
Right, I'll take you up there now.
Well, bye, George.
Bye.
Bye, Peggy. Yes. Caroline.
Bye.
George, you didn't sound very sure about Eddie.
Well?
I thought you agreed. He'd never get involved in that kind of violence. Well?
No. Of course, I mean, they're all things daft. Anybody who knows Eddie can see that.
Well, perhaps you should go back and tell that to the police.
Oh, I've told them once already. No point going on about it, is there?
Oh, dear. Poor George.
Still looks pretty awful, doesn't he?
I didn't like to say too much in front of Chris, but I was really quite shocked.
The bruising isn't quite as bad as it was.
No, but he's still only a shadow of the man he was. What those dreadful poachers must have done to him.
Yes, I know.
Now, where's the seatbelt?
Oh, here.
We could have done without the rain.
Yes, I think it's setting in.
Right. I'm all strapped in.
Oh, it's obviously going to be quite a while before George is back at work.
Yes. I wonder how long Brian will be willing to lend Jack his keeper.
Well, perhaps you could ask him now.
Oh, no, I'll leave that to Jack. Not sure if Brian's in tonight.
So, is it just the dining room they've redecorated?
Yes. Jennifer's very pleased with it. Apparently they had guests to dinner at the weekend, and they've asked if Jennifer and Sean can do their dining room.
Are they going to?
Yes, I think so.
Good for Jennifer.
Yes. Though I'm not just going to see the dining room. I want to ask Jennifer about Phil and Jill's party.
Oh, the Ruby wedding.
I'm still not sure what Shula means by a drop-in party.
Well, just that, I should think. You drop in when it suits and have a drink and some food.
Yes, but when? I don't want to get there too late and find we've missed half the meal. Oh, wait. Slow down. Stop a minute.
What?
Isn't that young Haley?
Oh, yes. She must be on her way home.
I saw her this morning. She said she was meant to be babysitting in Gleeblands. She must have changed her plans.
Well, let's see if she wants a lift.
There we go.
Oops. Mind the settee.
A drop of lager won't hurt.
Oh, this is nice. I'm glad we came back here.
That seemed like a good idea.
At least we'll get some privacy here. Mm. That's another thing about Donna's place. It's always full of her mates.
Yeah.
And the neighbours. Load of amateur vigilantes. Always snooping, always complaining.
Yeah. I suppose me and Haley are quite lucky with Uncle Tom.
Don't think he saw me come in, do you?
Yeah. He's always stuck in front of the telly by now.
Oh, you're lucky all round. Mm. Nice house. Nice neighbours. No worries about the bills.
Oh, yeah, I'll get that cash for you tomorrow.
Oh, it's all right. No big rush. I still haven't had the chance to thank you. There.
Is that all I get?
Don't be greedy.
I can't wait for the rest.
John?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been wearing that T-shirt?
Well, a few days.
Yeah, I can tell.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll go up and change it.
And no need to go anywhere. Let me take it off for you.
Yeah?
Come on. Hey. Put your arms up. There. Over we go. And the other one.
Hey, I'll be tickling me.
Sorry. Just can't help it. Let's get more comfortable, shall we?
Look, maybe we should go upstairs.
No, I like it here. And here.
It's Haley, quick.
Oh, John.
Look, get off. Get off me, Cheryl. Give me back. Give me your shirt.
It's just out to the skin. Hello, Haley.
John? What the hell's going on?
Sid's told me the bad news.
What bad news?
Usha's dropped out of the quiz team.
Oh, yes. Well, she did warn me that she might be able to commit herself.
So you'll have to do without all her qualifications.
Yes, it's a pity, but... Achoo! Oh,
bless you.
Thank you, Bert.
You still getting over your flu?
It wasn't really flu, just some kind of virus.
Oh.
It's the smoke from this bonfire that's making me sneeze.
Oh.
Well, I'm sure you didn't come all the way down here just to ask after my health, Bert.
Well... Now that you've lost Usha, you'll need someone to take her place.
I see. Have you got any suggestions?
Well, you could take me back again.
Oh, dear. Now, Bert, you were only on the team last week because Roy dropped out, and you hardly distinguished yourself.
All right. I had some bad luck last week.
Well, if you call getting every single question wrong bad luck...
I was off form. We all have our bad days.
Some worse than others.
But I didn't get them all wrong. The capital of Uruguay is Montevideo.
Montevideo, Bert.
Sid must have had the wrong answer. I reckon I deserves another chance.
Do you?
Well, the match is on for tonight. You won't find anybody else.
Well, I'm afraid it's not just up to me. Oh, Connor.
Oh, the police. It's that sergeant from Borchester.
Well, what's he doing here?
Good afternoon. Mrs. Snell?
Yes, is anything wrong?
Nothing to worry about. Just making some routine inquiries.
I see.
Well, what's this about?
I'd like to ask Mrs. Snell a few questions, if that's convenient.
Yes, of course. If you'll excuse us, Bert.
Oh, all right. I'll see you tonight.
Yes, all right, Bert. Now, Sergeant,
I've been told you've got a talent for organising amateur dramatics.
Oh, yes, when I've got the time. I expect you've heard about our recent production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
I also hear you had a local lad helping you out, said Clive Horobin.
Ah, yes, Clive, I should have guessed.
You got to know him quite well.
Well, I know all about his unfortunate past, of course, but I believe that there's some good in everybody if only they're given the chance.
What kind of work was he doing for you?
Stagehand. Helping with the props and scenery, any other odd jobs that needed doing.
You do realise that just by being in Ambridge, Clive was in breach of his parole conditions.
Well, yes, technically.
It's not just technically. We take it very serious.
Yes, but it was from the best of motives. He wasn't out committing more crimes. He was helping us as a stagehand.
I'm afraid that's no excuse for breaching his parole.
Sergeant Clive has served his sentence, and now he seems determined to live an honest life, and I think we should do all we can to encourage him. Some people in this village refuse to believe that he's even capable of reform.
So you think there's still some hostility towards him in the community?
Oh, it's more than hostility. They're ready to blame him on the slightest pretext.
Anything in particular?
Well, one of our cast lost her purse, and some people, I shan't name names, immediately assumed Clive had stolen it. But of course, the purse turned up later, and Clive was perfectly innocent.
I see. Did he have any other friends or contacts locally?
Not as far as I know. His family aren't terribly supportive, of course. That's why I rather took pity on him.
So, apart from breaching his parole, he seems to have behaved himself?
Oh, yes, absolutely. As for these silly rumours.
Rumours?
Well, the attack on George Barford. Some people are hinting that Clive was mixed up in it.
And what's your opinion, Mrs. Snow?
Well, I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
Hayley! Hayley!
Go away. I have got nothing to say to you.
Hayley, please.
No!
Won't you even let me come in?
This is my home. How dare you come here after what happened last night?
Hayley, I'm sorry. It wasn't what you thought.
You're wasting your time. Go back to Sharon.
Oh, Hayley, I tried to talk to you last night. You just walked out without giving me a chance. Don't you owe me that much?
What you've done to me? I don't owe you a thing.
Look, I won't stay. Just give me 5 minutes.
No!
Look, I'm getting soaked. Can't I just come into the hall?
I said no.
Okay, I'll stand out here till you let me in.
You do what you want. I don't care.
Look, I'll stay all night if I have to. Please, Hayley.
All right. 5 minutes and then you're out.
Well, the sergeant didn't actually say this, but I'm sure they do think Clive is somehow mixed up in the attack on George Barford.
Maybe he was.
But Roy, you're being as bad as your father. That's just the kind of mindless prejudice I was talking about.
I only said maybe.
But of course he wasn't.
Oh, sit up to. Crown team are ready. It's about time we started.
After my talk with Sergeant Blackmore, I did some investigation of my own.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I went to see Ivy Horobin, and she swears Clive wasn't even in Ambridge on the day of the attack.
What?
Well, she was quite positive about it, and she's given the police a statement.
Does Eddie know about this?
Well, I haven't told him.
But if he reckons he gave Clive a lift...
That's not for us to sort out. It's for the police.
So you think Eddie was lying?
No. Well... I honestly don't know who to believe, but I'm quite certain Clive had nothing...
Linda!
Oh.
What's going on?
We're waiting for you to start the quiz match.
Bert's here, and he says he's back on the team.
That's right.
What? After last week, you can't be serious.
We had no choice, Sid. Neil's had to work late tonight, so we're missing half the team.
Oh, great. Now you tell me.
Oh, well, don't worry. Roy and I will do all the answering. We'll just ignore Bert's answers, won't we, Roy?
Yeah, we'll give it a try.
Yeah. Oh, well. I just hope this is going to work.
Right. Are we ready to get started?
Here we are, Bert. We've saved you a chair.
Oh, I'm feeling on top form tonight. I reckon this should be a walkover.
Glad to see you so confident, Bert.
You know who's on the Crown team? Bill Dobson, the walking encyclopedia.
Don't you worry about Bill Dobson.
Right, ladies and gents. Welcome to our second quiz match of the season. In the blue corner, our own team. In the red, our guest team from the Crown at Ullerton. Now, you've all got drinks, you all know the rules, so I'll start with an easy for the Bull team. And the subject is Grand Opera.
Oh, well, I think I'd better take this one.
Here we go. In which opera by Mozart does Fernando disguise himself as an Albanian to test the love of his fiancée?
easy.
I know it.
Shh, quiet, Bert. I'm trying to think.
Any takers?
Now, is it Figaro or Don Giovanni?
No.
Come on, I'm a bad left door here.
It's Cosi fan tutti.
Don Giovanni?
And that is the wrong answer.
Oh, I told you.
The correct answer is, if you excuse me, French, Cosi fan tutti.
Oh.
Yeah, I was right. You should have let me answer.
Bert, you can't pretend you're an expert on grand opera.
Well, I got it right, didn't I?
Yes, out of sheer luck.
Look? What do you mean, look?
I'd have got it myself if you hadn't distracted me. Right. Next time, will you please not interrupt?
How long was it going on? How many weeks and months, how many lies did you tell me?
No, it wasn't like that.
I trusted you. I mistook you for a normal, honest human being. How could I have been so stupid and blind?
Just stop. Wait a second. Let me explain.
Why? So you can tell me some more lies?
Okay, so I saw Sharon a few times
without... Saw her? Why didn't you come out and say it? Go on, tell me what you really mean.
Okay, so we had a relationship.
Oh, stop poncing about. Say what you mean, or haven't you got the guts?
Look, whatever happened between me and Sharon, she means nothing to me. She's just a friend. I don't love her.
Oh, well, that makes me feel so much better. You had sex with her behind my back, but no, you didn't really love her.
You may find it hard to believe,
but... Well, that's where you're wrong. I find it only too easy. How many times did you see her when I was out of the house?
It only happened a few times, and that was the first time I brought her home.
Oh, forget it. I don't want to hear your pathetic excuses. I just don't care anymore.
I do care. I still love you. I don't want you to go.
Love? How dare you say that to me?
Because I do. I do love you.
You don't even know what it means. You think it's... an excuse to get off with anyone you fancy.
That's not true.
Oh, it's too late, John. Why should I believe anything you tell me? You're not the person I thought you were. You're a lying cheat who messed up my life.
No, I didn't want this to happen. I didn't want to hurt you.
Well, that's the last time you'll ever get the chance. Now go on, get out.
You can't just...
I have got nothing more to say to you. I don't ever want to speak to you again.
You can't do this. What about our home? What about our life together?
Don't you see? It's gone. Finished! Over! Go away! Leave me alone!
Hayley!
Get out!
Hayley!
Come on, Roy, you're the film buff.
I haven't seen this one.
Meryl Streep, I'm telling you, it's Meryl Streep.
Have you seen it, Bert?
Oh, no, but...
Well, be quiet then and let Roy think.
Come on, Bull Team. Your time's running out.
Why won't you let me answer?
Make a guess, Roy. Go on.
Diane Keaton.
Good shot from Roy Tucker, but just off target.
Oh.
Was, in fact... Meryl Streep.
There, what did I tell you? I was right again.
Well tried, Roy.
So, with one more round to go, the scores are the Bull Team, 36 points, the Fox, 74.
Oh, that's it.
Okay.
Another wipeout.
There's still the last round.
We'll never catch up now.
You've only got yourselves to blame. If you'd listened to me, we'd be way ahead by now.
Oh, please, I think that's a slight exaggeration.
No, it isn't. I've kept giving you the right answer. You wouldn't take no notice. Kept shouting me
down.
Yes,
all right. It's all very well to say that now, with the benefit of hindsight.
Ooh, shows you can have brains without going to university.
I'm
going to
get another before the last round, Linda.
No, thank you, Roy.
Oh, thanks. I'll have the same again.
Right.
Careful, Bert. You mustn't blunt that razor-sharp intellect of yours.
There's no danger of that. We might have lost the match, but there's still a chance to rescue some of our dignity.
Really? And how's that?
Let me answer the questions for the last round.
Roy?
Oh, hi, mate. Thought you were going to Birmingham.
Yeah. I just got back.
Oh, right. So she didn't ask you to stay the night, then?
Just leave it, yeah? Not in the mood.
I'm sorry. How bad was it?
All those big speeches, all this stuff I've been planning to tell her. Didn't even give me a chance. Just went on at me like I was evil.
Told it to you straight, did she?
Yeah. Told me to get lost. Shoved me out on the doorstep.
So it's all over then?
Well, yeah. As far as she's concerned.
Oh, that's a shame. Though I can't say I'm surprised.
Okay, it's my fault. I should have seen it coming. I didn't realise. I mean, I didn't think it would be like this. I feel much worse than when Sharon left me.
There's not much I can say. I'm sorry.
Look, I really don't want to lose her, Roy. You've got to help me get her back.
Sure you'll agree. I mean, it doesn't make sense to have two not very big shoots running side by side.
Well, yours and Grey Gables.
Of course.
Yeah.
Where's the file gone?
Here.
Oh, thanks.
The obvious answer would be to run the two shoots together. It'd be far more efficient.
Well, it's not just a question of efficiency, though.
Isn't it?
Some people run a shoot so they can mess around playing the country gentleman.
I think that's a bit unfair, even on Jack.
Well, okay, but he's not just in it for the money. Even if his shoot makes a loss, it still attracts clients to Grey Gables.
And it gives him the opportunity to show off to his business chums.
Right, there you are.
But if he comes in with me, he could still strut around in his tweeds with his pair of Purdy's.
Squire Woolley.
And he might actually make a profit as well.
Yeah, well, I'll leave it to your persuasive powers.
Well, I've already had one go at him. It might help if you were on my side.
Oh?
Merging the Brookfield lamb in my shoot's been a great success. If you could tell that to Jack.
Well, let's see how you get on first.
Morning.
Morning.
Chainsaw packed up on you?
No, Eddie. I'm just sharpening it up.
Right. I'll head up to the country park and have another go at Jack.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Mr. Aldridge. Yeah, nice bit of timber. Ash, is it?
Yeah, it came down in the gale last month. And before you ask, we need it ourselves.
I wasn't going to. Clary sent me over with an anniversary card for your mum and dad.
Oh, that's very thoughtful of you.
Shall I give it to you, or,
Well, if there's no one in the house, just leave it in the kitchen.
Right. Gonna be a big party, is it?
What?
Oh, Mike says it's gonna be a drop-in party. Does that mean we just, what, drop in whenever we feel like it?
Sorry, did you say we?
Well, I know we haven't had an official invitation.
No, and you won't be getting one either.
Oh, come on, you're asking Mike and Betty. Yeah,
because Mike's been up here milking. Otherwise, it's family and close friends only.
Yeah, well, I suppose I should have known better.
Come on, Eddie. Apart from anything, Shula and Elizabeth are doing all the food. They can't feed the whole village.
Yeah, okay, okay, fair enough.
A nice try, mate. Anyway, I'm sure Mum and Dad will be very pleased with the card.
Yeah, right. Better drop that in, I suppose.
Oh, any more news about the venison? Yeah, the local plod's been nosing around.
Yeah, he was. Well, I ain't heard nothing since.
You reckon they've lost the trail?
Yeah, so long as they stop picking on me, I can't say I'm bothered.
Yeah. I ought to stop wasting their time and go after the real villains. The ones who beat up poor old George.
Oh, we'll beat down from the end of the coombe. That should give them plenty of high birds.
If it's anything like last week.
Oh, yes, it never fails. Then we'll break for lunch.
I should think they'll be ready for it. They'll have had a pretty good morning. Three of your best drives.
Well, as I keep reminding you, these are some of our most important clients.
And some of your oldest friends, of course.
Yes, but they'll have paid for so many birds. We'll have to make sure they get them.
Right.
I'll drop the steaks off here for Jeff.
Do you want a hand?
Oh, that's kind of you. Yes, thanks. And then, after lunch, we'll take the party down to the plantation by the river. We didn't touch that last week,
so... Hang on. Do they really need another of your best drives?
Why not?
Well, they should have got most of their 50 birds in the morning. Why not save the plantation for another day?
But they'll have come for a good day's sport. We can't disappoint them.
Well, I mean, how about that new cover on the edge of the deer park?
Oh, no.
They'll get plenty of birds, enough to keep them happy.
But it's only a cover crop. You wouldn't call it exciting shooting.
Jack, I know they're chums of yours.
That's not the point. I don't want to shortchange my clients, whoever they are.
I'd hardly call it shortchanging. They'll get the number of birds you're contracted for.
It's not just a matter of contracts. I like to see satisfied customers.
I mean, isn't your real problem? You simply don't have enough drives.
What?
Well, let's be honest, Jack. Yeah, you've got your half dozen really good ones, plus the odd patch of scrub. But you could do with a bit more flexibility.
I'm not quite sure what you're getting at.
Well, perhaps you ought to consider ways you could expand. Give your clients more choice and variety.
Brian, you don't seem to have got the message, do you? I'm perfectly happy with my shoot the way it is.
Hello.
Oh, hello, sir.
Hello. Anyway, Jack, it's only a suggestion. But if you do want to talk about it again, well, any time...
Don't say you've been in with Peggy all this time.
No, I've been up to see Caroline.
Oh, I see.
I must get back. I've got Daniel's birthday party to organise.
Not today, is it?
Tomorrow, thank goodness.
3 years old already.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got all that, as well as the party on Sunday.
Oh, did Peggy mention, we're still not quite sure, what you mean by a drop-in party?
Uh-huh. Well, all it really means is that we're not having a formal dinner or anything. People can just call in whenever they're ready.
But you must have some kind of a schedule.
We'll be lucky if the food's ready by 5. Then we'll have to see how it goes.
See you on Sunday, then.
Yes, bye, Brian.
Bye. She did say 5, didn't she?
Kate, just a word, all right?
Some of the
the time, yeah? I've got an important message for Sean from Mum.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, about a decorating job. I can't waste my time out here.
Look, I know we're finished, but I've still got a life. And we've still got to sort out the bike.
But does it have to be now?
You can't keep putting it off. Sooner we get this sorted, sooner we can get on with the rest of our lives.
Yeah, fine. But as it happens, I've got better things to do than talk to you about bikes.
Okay. So, well, let's sell it and we'll split the cash 50-50.
Oh, great! So how am I supposed to get around?
Yeah! And I'll have the same problem.
Okay, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. It's the same problem for both of us. So, shall we start talking?
I rang Kenton's number. A girl answered and said he was in California on business.
Oh. You don't know who she was?
The line went dead. I rang back and got an answering machine, that's all.
All right. Well, we can safely assume that Kenton will not be coming to the party.
Oh, you think he'd have made the effort.
Yeah.
Oh, now my icing's gone all wobbly.
Happy bib.
Oh, I'll have to do the R again.
Well, it's all right. Daniel can't read. Oh. Okay, I'll leave his present and I'll let you get on.
Oh, sorry, it's just this party.
Well, as long as the kids enjoy it.
Oh, not Daniel's, Mum and Dad's.
Oh.
Oh, this bag's all sticky. I have to wash it out first.
I know it's disappointing about Kenton,
but... Oh, it's
but...
not just Kenton. You know we've been trying to get Mum and Dad out of the way while we do the food.
Yeah.
Well, they've decided to spend the afternoon with Auntie Chris and George.
Oh.
Right. I mean, poor George, but he's hardly the best of company at the moment.
No, not guaranteed to put Mum and Dad in the party mood.
No. Well, they could have called in and gone on somewhere else. And then Jean Harvey came round to Brookfield with some blatantly feeble excuse and managed to get herself invited. Oh, so now that's three extra with Mike and Betty.
Four.
What?
Yeah, I was going to tell you, Eddie called in with a card this morning.
You haven't invited Eddie?
No. Told him to get lost.
Oh.
But then Joe tried the same trick this afternoon.
Oh,
and,
please,
it
no.
It wasn't really my fault.
You invited Joe?
No, he invited himself, and I wasn't quick enough to stop him.
Oh, David.
Well, Ruth had dumped Pip on me and gone to check on Mike again.
You can't blame it on Ruth.
Well, it is partly her fault. She still won't leave Mike alone to do the milking. Insists on going in to check up on him.
What's that got to do with Joe?
Well, she left me with Pip, who was howling about wanting to go to Grange Farm, and then, well, Joe promised to show her their new chicks in the barn.
Oh,
and...
All right, spare me the details.
Well, you know what he's like. He did exactly the same with the estate party at Home Farm.
Oh, so instead of Kenton, we've got Joe Grundy, Mum and Dad's big surprise.
I knew this would happen. You're saying the bike's yours because you're the man.
No, it's because I need it the most.
Rubbish! You've always acted like it's really yours and I'm only borrowing it. Well, girls don't ride bikes, do they?
Oh, come on, that's pathetic.
Too right. You can't see the problem, can you? I don't need the bike. I can always ride in my boyfriend's car.
Look, just shut up for a minute, will you?
Oh, why am I doing this?
Let's stick to the facts, right? I've got to get to college every morning. I can't afford a car. If I don't have the bike, I have to give up the course.
Okay, move to Felpersham. Get a flat like other students.
Can't we even try and have a sensible discussion?
Oh, so this is a discussion. I thought it was me listening to you tell me that I'm not allowed to keep the bike.
I'm not going to walk off with it. I'll pay you back for your half.
All right, I'll pay you back for yours.
Oh, yeah, and where will you get the money from?
Where will you?
Well, I can raise a loan.
Oh, yeah? On top of all the other stuff you're going to have to borrow to get you through college.
Okay. I'll get you the cash in a week's time. That's a promise. How long will it take you to raise it?
So, I'm right. You're telling me I've got no choice.
If you want to put it like that.
That just about says it all, doesn't it? Can't imagine why I ever shared a bike with you, let alone anything else.
That's life, isn't it?
Not my life, not anymore.
Seems to be the fashion, bust-ups.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I suppose I better tell you. Hayley's dumped John. Caught him and Sharon at the cottage.
What? What do you mean, caught them?
What do you think?
Oh, poor Hayley.
And John, too. He'd really cut up about it.
Oh, sure, my heart bleeds. You knew he had this coming. Some mate you are.
What?
Well, you knew it would happen. I told you. I said you ought to tell John to lay off Sharon.
Well, I tried, didn't I?
Oh, sure, and look what happens.
Well, you just can't blame me. You knew what was going on, too.
You think John would listen to me?
Well, you could have tried, couldn't you? I did suggest it.
Why should I? It's a male thing. If John can't control his testosterone...
You might have stopped Hayley from getting her.
Oh, so now it's all my fault.
Hello, hello. It is a private, rare walk. Can anyone join in?
God, push off, Hayley.
I see, private.
It's okay, I'm going. You can have my seat.
Oh, well, ta very much.
Women, eh?
Who needs them? I don't need that either.
Yeah, okay, let's change the subject. You seen Nurse Snatch Foster down here recently?
No.
Right, reckon I'm safe for tonight.
What have you got to be so cheerful about?
Well, another day's gone by and I haven't been arrested. Well, maybe they've talked to Clive and found that I'm innocent.
Clive?
Yeah. He's the only one who can back up my story. About giving him a lift.
Yeah, but from what I've heard...
Yeah? What have you heard?
Well, seems like Clive wasn't even in the village.
Oh, yeah. I know Susan's been shooting her mouth off saying she never saw him, but...
Susan?
Clive didn't come to see her. He came to see Ivy.
Yeah, but it's not just Susan. I mean, Ivy said she never saw him either.
Hey,
it's true. She swears he never visited her.
No. Well, that can't be right.
You asked Mrs. Snell. She talked to Ivy.
But he was there. I gave him
but
a
all
lift.
I know is Ivy's made a statement. She's told the police she didn't see him. But...
Why? Why is Ivy telling lies?
You were driving along the lane towards Pennyhasset at about 10:15. You were flagged down by Clive Horriban.
Yes, that's right.
Mr. Horriban told you he'd been visiting his mother and asked you for a lift to Holton Station.
Yes.
And you're quite sure about all this?
Yes, I told
you. Mr. Grundy has already given you a detailed explanation of what he was doing that evening.
Right. Well, since we spoke to you last, we've spoken to Mr. Horriban's mother, Mrs. Ivy Horriban. She denies that Clive visited her at any time on the 28th of October.
I know what she's been saying.
And how would you explain this?
I don't know.
It's not for Mr. Grundy to explain what Mrs. Horriban said.
We've also spoken to Clive Horriban. And he denies being in the Ambridge area on that same evening.
Please ask questions rather than make statements.
If that's what he told you, then he's lying.
Why should he want to lie about it?
How should I know?
You can't expect Mr. Grundy to know that.
That's right.
All right. Let's leave that for a moment. Now, this venison, the meat you were carrying in the back of your van, you say you got it from your old friend Snatch Foster.
I know what he's been telling you. He says he never sold it to me, right?
To you or anyone else, he denies having any knowledge of the venison.
That's not a question.
Well, he's wrong, isn't he?
You still maintain that he sold you the venison that was in your van?
Yes.
So Mr. Foster is lying too.
You are doing it again, asking for his opinion.
That's right. And I can tell you why and all.
Why? Tell
me. He's looking out for himself. Doesn't want you lot asking awkward questions.
So you say he's lying to protect himself?
Yes, some might ease.
Mr. Grundy has told you that he bought the venison in good faith. He had no reason to believe it wasn't obtained legally.
Right. So now let's go back to the evening of the assault. This train you say Clive was catching.
What about it?
We've checked the railway timetables and the last train on that evening left Hollerton Junction at 10 p.m. Sometime before you say you picked up Clive.
If you refer to my client's statement, Mr. Grundy did not tell you that there was a train leaving Hollerton at any particular time. He only told you what was said to him by Clive Horriban.
Clive said he was catching a train back to London. Well, that's why I dropped him at the station.
Seems a bit odd, doesn't it? You'd think Clive would have checked the timetables.
I'm only saying what he told me. Maybe it was another one of his lies.
You must stop asking Mr. Grundy to account for the actions of other people.
So all our other witnesses are lying. It's only you who's telling the truth.
These questions are not achieving anything.
I'm not lying. Why should
Inspector, I? Inspector, if you have any evidence to show that my client isn't telling the truth, put it to him. Otherwise, let's call it a day.
Well, we've made a thorough check on Clive's movements on the 28th of October. Would it surprise you to know that we've spoken to several witnesses? And they all confirm that Clive spent the whole of the evening in London.
Oh. That's not true. He was in Ambridge. I gave him a lift.
I don't think there's any point in going over all this again.
It's all lies. You're making it up.
Eddie, just confine yourself to answering his questions.
Mr. Grundy, are you sure there's nothing else you'd like to tell us?
No. I'm telling you the truth.
First, it was like total shock. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, even though it was right in front of my eyes.
Yeah, right.
Then it was like an explosion. Felt all different things at once. Betrayed. Humiliated. Disgusted. Then I went sort of completely numb. Now I just feel really, really angry.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it.
Not just with John. I can't believe I let myself be taken in by him. All the lies and excuses, it was so obvious. Why didn't I see what was going on?
It's easy to say that now.
Oh, I know. Well, I give myself a lot of grief trying to work out how it happened. Bashing your head against a brick wall. I still keep doing it, though.
You won't want to hear this. But John...
No, you're right, I don't.
Okay. But I did say I'd try and talk it over with you.
So John sent you out here to see me?
Not exactly, no. I offered.
Well, it won't do him any good. I'm not interested in anything he's got to say to me now.
No, but... And he's really cut up about it. I've never seen him so bad.
Roy, it's no good.
Look, I'm not defending what he's done. I could see this was going to happen. I tried to warn him off, Sharon.
How long have you known about it?
A few weeks.
You never told me about it.
I couldn't, could I? That was up to John.
And who else knew about it? Everyone apart from me, I suppose.
To be fair on John, it was Sharon who was making the run-in. If you ask me, the main reason she came back to Ambridge was to get John back again.
Oh, well, she's got him now.
Yeah, but John doesn't want her.
Oh, well, he could have fooled me.
I mean, not for real. He was never serious about her, only messing around.
Oh, filling in time while I was out working.
I'm not saying he should have. But, well, it happens, doesn't it? Like with me and Kate. She didn't always play straight with me. She had other blokes. But we always got it back together somehow.
Oh, right, and look at you now.
Okay, maybe I've said enough.
I'm sorry, Roy. I know you're trying to help. But you're wasting your time.
Well, if he is trying to put pressure on you to change your story, he hasn't managed so far.
Me and Jim covered, I'll go back a long way. Well, those years ago, he tried to get me for poaching and failed.
He may not be very fond of you, but I very much doubt that he'd bother to make up evidence against you.
It's not just the poaching. He's got other reasons. Personal. Oh, this girl, Ava.
If he tries anything on, we'll expose him.
What about his so-called witnesses in London? We both know Clive was in Ambridge.
Clive's probably got a few good friends who were willing to lie for him. They must have worked out an alibi. Clive was in a pub all evening, something like that.
God, that's bloody marvellous. That's going to blow my whole story clean out of the window.
Oh, not necessarily. His friends may be willing to lie for him now, but it doesn't mean to say they'd do the same in court. That's if the case ever gets that far.
Not looking so good, is it?
Oh. Apart from his alibi, he's still just Clive's word against yours. And he's got a criminal record.
And Ivy, and Snatch.
All right. But why should a jury believe Clive or Snatch rather than you? If they thought they had any real evidence against you, they'd have charged you by now.
Charged me?
Oh, don't worry. You know you're telling the truth. Just stick to your story.
Yeah, and hope for the best.
Hey, relax. I'm on your case. Trust me.
Sorry. I did say not to get too hopeful.
You told her everything. It was all a big mistake. There's nothing between me and Sharon.
Yeah, she didn't want to know.
What did she say exactly?
Well, I wasn't taking notes. As far as she's concerned, it's terminated. You've really blown it this time.
Yeah. Well, thanks for trying. Look, I'd be glad if you didn't spread this round. I want to try and keep the lid on it. Won't help if people start gossiping.
Yeah, whatever you say.
If I can keep it just between me and Haley while I try and get it sorted, then...
Oh, so you still reckon that you can...
I'm not giving up yet. There's got to be a chance I can...
John, you there?
No.
Well, no chance while she's still around.
Look, I didn't ask her here.
Roy. Oh, sorry, John, I didn't know...
That's okay. I was just going.
Roy, what about your tea?
Oh, I can't stop. I've got work to do. See you, John.
Well, aren't you going to say hello?
Sharon, I already told
you. Yeah, look, I'm sorry about this morning. I know it was a bad
time. But you just have to...
Better here. Just the two of us. Donna's looking after Kylie. I'll make the tea, shall I?
I don't want to talk.
Okay, you sit down. I'll just do this. and then I'll get my bag.
What bag?
Well, I just brought a few things for now. We can bring the rest at the weekend.
Sharon, what is this? You think you can move in here?
Okay, I'm sorry. If it's too soon, just say so.
Soon?
Look, I don't mind, really. If you want to give it a few more days, I'll have a word with Donald.
No!
What?
This isn't your house. It's mine and Haley's.
Haley's?
You are not moving in here, Sharon. I don't want you here. Don't you see that?
What's the matter? What have I done?
Done?
But I thought, well, now it's all changed. Then you and me...
Are you stupid? You messed up my whole life. I lost the only girl I ever really cared about.
You mean that?
I don't want to live with you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't even want to see you.
You really mean it, don't you?
Yes! Now please just get out and leave me alone.
If that's how you want it.
Go, Sharon! Just go!
Already had guests and I could hardly desert them, could I?
But you only went round there for afternoon tea. Who on earth was here that early?
Auntie Peggy and Jack. I think they misunderstood the open house invitation.
Oh. So how was it at George and Christine's?
It was a bit subdued, to be perfectly honest. George was tired, so he went to bed halfway through. He still looks very poorly, you know.
Oh, poor old chap.
Oh, well, at least this isn't subdued.
I'll say. You want to go in the sitting room? I think Joe's about to attempt anything goes.
More gate crashes, I reckon.
I'll get it.
No, it's all right, Mum.
Now, surely it's my party, and I'll answer the door and I want
to. Hello, Mum. Happy anniversary.
Kenton.
Kenton?
Yeah. Come in. I don't believe it. Come in. Everyone knows who's here.
Hey, hi, Dave. Still here then, eh?
I'm just about. It's good to see you, mate. How are you?
Oh, all the better for seeing you and Mum and my twin sister here. Come here, you.
Oh, I could murder you, Kenton.
Oh, well, that's nice. Here's me, just come from the other side of the world.
Not literally, I hope.
Oh, no. I've been in London for a day or so, you know, visiting friends and sleeping off the jet lag.
I'll go and get Dad and Elizabeth. I'll wait a minute.
Oh, Kenton, I can't believe you're here.
To be honest, Mum, neither could I.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
Well, it would have ruined the surprise, wouldn't it?
Oh, some things don't change, eh, Mum?
I wouldn't have it any other way.
So they seemed all right, did they?
No, I still can't get over it, Kenton, just turning up like that.
Yes, I know, so you said.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Peggy?
I was asking you about George and Chris. Did they seem all right?
Well, all right, yes, but only just. George isn't really up to socialising.
Oh, dear.
And Chris said he's been having bad dreams and he seems afraid to go out.
I suppose things take time.
Well, yes, they do. My worry is that it's taken toll on her just as much as on him.
Yes, it must be very hard for her.
Well, the fact is that she's worried about him, very worried.
Did she say this to you?
Oh, not in so many words, but I can tell. I don't know. George is keeping it all bottled up about what's happening to him, and in a funny way, Chris is doing the same thing.
And no one wins in the end.
Exactly.
Well, I suppose all we can do is wait and try and support them as best we can.
Yeah, that's it. Oh. Some things don't change.
Here you are, Peggy.
You were a long time. I only asked for a glass of wine.
Yes, I'm sorry. I just thought I'd pop into the office to use the phone.
Oh, Jack.
I hope that was all right, Phil.
Yes, of course.
Nathan Glover, was it?
Yes, it was. It happens.
And who's...
One of my best clients, Phil. Ah.
Jack's done nothing but worry about yesterday's shoot all day.
Is this the shoot that Brian's chap was helping you out with?
That's the one. Now, don't tell me, Jack. Nathan thought everything was fine and looks forward to the next shoot at Grey Gables, right?
As it happens, Peggy, no.
Oh,
why? What happened?
There was one drive Nathan was looking forward to. You know, Peggy, the plantation.
Oh, yes.
I'd given specific instructions that the drive was to be scheduled for the afternoon. But I'm afraid my instructions were ignored.
What, by Jeff?
No, actually by Brian himself.
Jeff, what on earth do you mean?
It's perfectly simple, Peggy. Brian came down to Grey Gables and told Jeff he was taking over personally. He decided that for the afternoon he'd use a cover that wasn't as good. Now I've got an unsatisfied customer to deal with. More than one, probably.
Hey.
I'm going to have a word with him.
Not here, Jack. Hmm? This is neither the time nor the place for a row about business.
Oh, no, don't worry. I'll ring a few other customers tomorrow and see how they felt. Then I'll talk to Brian. Yeah.
So, am I forgiven then?
I don't know. I'm still deciding.
Hey, come on, Dave. Surely you're on my side. You can see that a surprise was a good idea.
Yeah, give him a break, Shula. After all, it made Mum and Dad happy.
And I have brought Daniel a lovely belated birthday present.
Oh, all right. Consider yourself forgiven.
Great.
Speaking of presents, what have you got Mum and Dad for their anniversary?
Don't worry. It's currently in hand.
Oh. Aha, say no more.
And I've bought some nice things for your two as well.
Oh, that's good of you.
I mean, I can't believe I haven't even seen Josh. I mean, you could have said to
Oh, folks. You'll get plenty of chances, I'm sure.
Hey, and how's Pip? How's she doing at school?
All right. One or two teething troubles, I think.
Ah, well, that's natural. What's been the matter?
I'm sure it's just a phase, David.
Yeah, me too. No, Pip keeps saying she doesn't want to go to school, that's all.
Well, if I had a penny for every time I said that when I was a kid.
Yeah, but...
Everybody all right for drinks?
Oh, yes, thanks,
Mum. You looked as if you were being kept engrossed by Bert just then.
Yeah, he's excited about tomorrow's quiz night. He reckons they're in with a chance.
I believe that when I see it. They were hopeless last week.
Well, that's only because the team kept overruling him. If they listen to him tomorrow, they'll have cause for celebration, apparently.
Hey, speaking of celebrating, I think it's time for a toast, don't you?
Ladies and gentlemen, can I have a little quiet, please? Please, thank you. Can someone see to the music? Thanks very much, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, and Mr. Grundy asleep on the sofa, I think the time has come to raise our glasses. A ruby wedding is no mean feat. And to reach that anniversary as well as raise a lovely family, eh? Is quite an achievement. And so, I give you my mother and father, Phil and Jill.
Phil and Jill.
Oh, well done.
Thanks very much. Oh, Dad, you've got to tell me about what happened to the estate contract.
Oh, well, nice to know some things haven't changed.
You mean we don't hear a thing for goodness knows how long and then in he comes and takes centre stage?
Exactly.
I don't know how you can possibly think that, David.
Cheers.
Cheers.